We're creating a log of evidence for the future prosecution of ICE agents and officials responsible for this.
Tim Walz is emboldened by what amounts to organized crime with badges and budgets.
We've got a couple groups on the app Signal that we would love for you to join. Whether or not you want to be a part of the resistance network, I fully understand that you may not be comfortable with that, but if you see any suspicious vehicles, any traffic, if you know of anybody that is being targeted, that's being detained, we have resources immediately available.
Independent journalists and undercover ops have cracked open encrypted Signal chats used by radical left networks to dox, stalk, harass, and straight up impede federal ICE agents during the ongoing immigration enforcement chaos in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Cam Higby's infiltration of these groups blew the lid off.
This is John 612, that we are at Grand and Lake. We're heading toward Irving. We can try and join you.
Signal chats are buzzing with anti-ICE operatives, and local police are complicit, cooperative even, with real-time access to national databases for tracing license plates, courtesy of law enforcement insiders, as well as shift changes leaked from within departments.
And quit referring to these people as law enforcement. They are not law enforcement. We have law enforcement who do an incredible job.
Anita Smithson, dispatcher in the Ice Watch chats, Minnesota State Senate candidate, BLM supporter, Indivisible Minnesota member, and a big Walz Ilhan Omar backer. She is allegedly using her U.S. bank risk management job for potential access to license plate databases to aid doxing. The chats coordinate rapid response ambushes on federal officers, share real-time locations and personal info, all while tying directly into state-level political operatives.
We just got this message, and it says, we know that you're in Minneapolis, you're with O'Keefe and his crew of Nazis, you're in a white Ford license plate, they actually wrote the license plate down from Florida, you have 1 hour to leave or you're dead.
Peggy Flanagan, Minnesota Lieutenant Governor, allegedly exposed as Flan or Flan Southside in the chats.
Show up and use your voice. Put your body on the line. Put your body on the line.
Amanda Kohler, Tim Walz campaign strategist and protest organizer, identified as a top administrator in the MN Ice Watch Signal Group, training rioters in tactics like salute, a strategy straight out of the Ice Watch playbook for obstructing agents.
I want to move my car! I am disabled! I have a brain injury!
Kohler's LinkedIn brags about her ties to Monarca, an Ice Watch offshoot listed as a resource on the Minnesota government website under the Office of Ombudsperson for Families, no less. John Otte, media press figure allegedly participating in the Signal groups, highlights coordination between activists and journalists to shape narratives around the protests and incidents.
We're not ICE. Why are you guys following us?
We're following them because they were following us.
Well, you look suspicious as
speculative ties at this point keep swirling around Governor Tim Walz himself as the alias Boogie. Broader allegations point to dozens more State House Senate representatives, gang members, and even media embeds in these networks. This isn't some fringe chat. It's allegedly a coordinated effort blending government insiders, campaign staff, Antifa elements, and media to obstruct federal operations. These claims suggest state-level involvement in protest networks. These are not organic protests. They are a desperate, highly coordinated, state-level weaponized resistance protecting massive fraud.
Over 80% of the Somalia households receive some form of public assistance. Many of them are on welfare. So your first question is, if they're on welfare, how are they getting millions of dollars to send back to the homeland? Number one. Number two, if they're on welfare, why do they need childcare? They're not working outside of the home. Why would there be this number of Somalia child care centers?
If the feds move, we're looking at sedition level fallout that could collapse the Minnesota DFL or Democratic Farmer Labor Party machine overnight. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Welcome back to the American Journal. It's a bit of a different venue for me, of course. We are live in West Palm Beach right now. And as many of you guys know, Texas got a little bit of snow, and it's very unusual for Texas. But we are here, we are live, and we're going to be joined by incredible guests. Mayor Rudy Giuliani will be with us in the third hour of the program, live in studio. And do I look forward to talking to him? Abso-freaking-lutely. We learn so much from the mayor every time we speak to him, so that will be a great one. But I'm joined right now, live in studio, with my girl, Mel Kay.
Hello.
Mel, thanks for having me. I mean, I've been, you know, hanging around, sticking around, so this is good.
Well, thanks for coming down to see us again. You left not too long ago. We've missed you.
Thank you.
But we love that you're on InfoWars. So, yeah.
Thank you.
We deal with it. But glad to have you.
You know, I have to say, it's very cold today, too, here in Florida. I didn't sign up for this. I definitely didn't sign up for this. Speaking of not signing up for things, though, we're going to have Jorge Ventura on in just a moment. We're going to be talking about Minneapolis in this part of the show, mainly because, folks, if you've been watching what's going on over there, it's a well-orchestrated, they'll call it a protest, but it's not a protest. It's nothing like a protest. These are terrorists who are taking over. This is well-orchestrated, well-thought-out, well-planned. And how do we know this? Well, of course, there's a new Signal group chat that has been exposed thanks to the great work of Cam Higby. But most importantly, we know this because he's also releasing some of the videos that are happening. No, seriously, folks, you're going to want to buckle up for this one, because in clip one, you're going to see how these left-wing terrorists, it's not a joke, this is really a thing, they do healing Zoom calls before they begin their terrorist meetings, and they practice this meditation music. And someone's actually singing to it. It's bizarre, it's weird, and I'm going to force you to watch it. Take a listen. All right. If I had to live through that, I had to make you guys all go through it as well. Sorry for the suffering, the pain and suffering we've caused. But folks, obviously that's freaking insane, right? But it's the most innocent thing in all of this. Right now, they've been exchanging messages back and forth, planning, plotting, and we know we have the proof now. We see that they're even doing training manuals, which is insane. But they are a well-orchestrated group of domestic terrorists. Now, our federal government, who continues to say, we're investigating. Well, everything's been laid out for them. And unfortunately, we're not really seeing much in the way of movement on this issue. Joining us now to discuss, who's been on the ground for all of this and can probably give you some better insight into it because he's dealing with these folks, is Jorge Ventura. He's an independent journalist who just recently came back to us. He was over in the corporate media for a little bit, and now he's going back to his independent roots so he could do things like this, follow these groups, these riots. And Jorge, it's an honor to have you on. I know you're very excited to be out there and to be front and center with all of this. I wanted to get your take on this because you've seen a lot of the violence that's unfolded over these last few days in Minneapolis. What's happening on the ground there?
Well, in the last recent days, the energy has really focused on targeting the hotels where protesters and some of the rioters are thinking that ICE agents are staying. just two nights ago, one got really violent at the Home Two Suites by Hilton here in Minneapolis. It was an area where protesters believe federal agents were staying. Around 9:30 Monday night, they started to target that exact location and just destroyed the lobby. And it was just a kind of chaotic scene. When I got there, the roads were actually blocked off by the rioters. They had like mattresses, wooden pallets blocking the roads. They also had individuals in their own vehicles line up and just nonstop honking, beating on like anything, like wooden pallets, using snow shovels, hammers. You can see in that video, you know, smashing the windows, vandalism, and targeting any hotels with the federal agents. This particular night got actually really scary because federal agents got deployed to this scene. They actually used like flashbangs and tear gas to move out the huge mob there. But one of the people in the crowd were able to throw some objects and actually hit one of the federal agents in the head. And I believe after that moment, he was concussed. I don't know, Brandon, if your producers could pull up the scene, but there's a shot that I captured where the federal agent is like pleading for help. He's like, "Where is the local PD?" And he was actually bleeding.
We actually have that soundbite, Jorge. We could actually play that for you guys now.
We could play that.
Jorge, because you captured this, and I wanted to give you credit because you were front and center in all of this, and you were actually trying to ask him some questions here. So let's take a listen to clip two.
Oh my God. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. This is all right.
Where's the local PD? That's my question for the press.
Okay,
where's the local PD?
What's your message to the local PD, sir?
No.
Okay.
Well, the mayor.
Very chaotic.
And state
officials. What are you getting messages? What was your message to the protesters that want you out of me?
Press conference. No comment.
Do you have any comments?
Please, Mitch, back up. Back up. Please, give me some room. It's me and 30 people. Please, get back.
I'm also a paramedic. You are bleeding. Can I help you?
I'm fine.
Are you sure?
I'm fine.
Sir, you're giving comments to the local PD. Do you have any comments to the community, the people that want you out, the people who are here?
Jorge, obviously this is really upsetting. Meanwhile, we're just talking about it. You know, he's not the demon here. He's not the person to blame here. But yet, sadly, I mean, he's sitting here trying to say, where's local PD? And we know that local PD has not been cooperative in all of this. What actually was going on behind the scenes there?
Yeah, you know, I think that moment is so powerful because it's kind of like a microcosm of this Minneapolis story where federal agents have been essentially abandoned by local PD, from the local mayor to state government. And actually, like, as soon as that video starts, the first voice you hear is actually, he's a friend of mine. He's also was reporting that night. It's Anthony Cabasa. You hear him say, "Oh my God, are you okay?" You can't see it too close in that shot, but he was like bleeding in his hands. He seemed very disordered. You saw in that video, he kind of stumbles. And it was just kind of shocking just to see that moment on an American city. We're talking about a federal agent here. Eventually they were able to clear out that area. And then last night, another hotel was targeted, this time in Maple Grove, just outside kind of the outskirts of Minneapolis, where they believe Commander Bovino will stay. Now, last night we saw a much stronger response from the Maple Grove local police department. But just once again, just a chaotic moment. The whole lobby in there was destroyed. There was a moment where I was kind of standing there just kind of looking at the madness. And there was like a father and his child just standing there looking very just like worried of the situation, not knowing if these people were going to storm that lobby and end up attacking him. So it's getting really out of hand. It's not just dangerous, obviously, for the federal agents, but also just for your average American who's staying in these hotels. So it's really turning big. I think now it's not. I think we talked about it last time, Brandon. I think my biggest takeaway so far is just seeing how organized Minneapolis here, from the activist protesters just to like your regular local person, extremely organized when it comes to just getting all the details on where these agents are staying, doxing their license plates and just putting out all that information. And, you know, it's likely that another hotel will probably be targeted tonight, to be honest.
Well, Jorge, I mean, you're on the ground there and you're the one who's interacting with these folks. By the way, if you don't follow Jorge Ventura, he's on the ground right now in Minneapolis. Do just that. He's on X at Ventura Report, and make sure you support his work as an independent journalist, because he's on the ground with the Daily Caller right now doing just that. But Jorge, I want to get back to this because you've actually dealt with this crowd, too. They recently posted your information because your videos are going viral and it's really upsetting these left wing terrorists. And so they flagged you. But I want to play this clip from James O'Keefe, because James just released a little segment of his bigger story that he's going to be releasing later today. And in it, they're actually targeting him. They're throwing frozen water bottles at his head. Take a listen to clip three.
They're everywhere.
Shut the doors.
Whoa.
We're pressed.
Do you know what the First Amendment is?
First Amendment.
Yes or no?
They threw a frozen
ice brick
at the car.
Yeah, and so obviously, they were trying to get James to show his ID. They were actually, and you'll see it later tonight when he releases everything, they wanted to ID him to see who he was. Jorge, is that the kind of same things that are going on with you when you're on the ground there? Because I saw that you posted on Twitter that they did put up your photo, and they are putting out a warning about you specifically.
Yeah, it's very aggressive, and the tensions are high on the ground. They're looking for just anyone who's critical of them. And I mean, anyone that follows me know that like my reporting is not like extreme or anything. I just literally report what I'm seeing. And, you know, part of the story is obviously them causing all this violence. So they're targeting reporters. And the thing is, the reason why this is important is because this also deters reporters from even following them. So it's a very selective few that really get on the ground. I have to say, what is kind of helping me out in a way and kind of giving us an advantage is that it's like sub-zero temperature. So like all of our faces are obviously covered up and things like that. So the good thing is I have, you know, a ton of experiences from the 2020 riots, kind of just know how crowds and these mobs work, but you always just have to be careful. But at least, from, you know, speaking for myself, it's just not going to deter what we're doing. You know, we want to kind of continue to shine a light, to show Americans what's going on here in Minneapolis. And I think what's kind of shocking is it's just how long it's been going, and the energy hasn't died down. I've always kind of thought, like, you know, Portland was probably the city that I experienced probably the most kind of left-wing violence with the activism and the organization. But I have to say, Minneapolis really takes it at a whole nother level. And there's really no signs of slowing down. Yesterday, like I said, was like the first time I saw like a super strong response, but that was a Maple Grove police department. And now they're like, I posted this out of the locals are letting me know that Maple Grove, you know, leans more conservatives, also in the outskirts of Minneapolis, but many of these hotels are being targeted are right here in downtown. So it's likely, I mean, who knows what happens if they'll try to target a hotel where Tom Holman is staying now that, you know, Holman is here in Minneapolis.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they need to get tougher on that issue. Jorge Ventura, thank you for joining us. And please be safe when you're on the ground over there, because I know this is very, very scary what's going on right now. And they're after everyone. So please be safe and keep us posted on all things that are going on. Jorge Ventura. Folks, give him a follow on X. Support good independent journalism. He's at Ventura Report. That's how you could find him on Twitter. He's doing great work. And I know it was an all-nighter for you, too. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Yeah, that's right, how I get my coffee right here.
Yes, my friend, you need it. You've earned it. You know, probably earned something a little stronger than a coffee, though. Jorge, thank you. All right, folks, I've got Mel Kay here in studio. We're going to talk about this because, Mel, the Signal chats are the big one, right? We've known for a while these are all well-orchestrated riots, that this isn't a protest. And the media keeps telling you, oh, it's a protest. Protests, I always joke, and I sound like an old person when I say this, but protests don't happen after 8 p.m. So what do you make of all of this? Because we're seeing that there's actually a training manual that's being passed around amongst all of these people.
They've been writing training manuals for years. Let's be honest. It is not a coincidence that this is happening exactly where Operation George Floyd happened. Mm-hmm. This is all, and if you've never seen the great Liz Collins, The Fall of Minneapolis, it's hard to understand what happened to Minneapolis in the wake of the George Floyd situation, including the very unfair and insane trial of Derek Chauvin and other police officers. So you, when you're looking at this and you're thinking, God, why aren't the police officers stepping up? Well, they were all, anyone that was a legit, really law enforcement person, not ideologically aligned with Waltz and Fry and Omar, is gone. Mm-hmm. So this is what happened to a lot of places where the defund the police, no bail, no jail, all the things that came out of Black Lives Matter that didn't help Black lives at all. In fact, made it really far worse in their communities than it was before. This is the result of it. And frankly, the entire operation that was the George Floyd situation took over this whole country. It was exploited right from that same area, the same political players, the same infrastructure. And again, we've been telling people for years about the Sunrise group and some of these other groups. They are very well organized. My issue is that we supposedly have the best intelligence in the world, let alone I think we all know about the 702 warrantless surveillance. We know about the NSA. There's nothing they can't, if they want, to see on your computer, on your phone, anywhere else. Signal, I firmly believe, is totally in operation as well. Just like, you know, they can see anything anywhere. So to me, what I don't understand is the intelligence community not stepping in. What did the FBI do, actually, at this point, if this is not something that they were on top of before? Mm-hmm. And why aren't they still defunding these people? These are the same groups that funded Black Lives Matter and called it a peaceful protest and burnt down the entire city of Minneapolis that still really hasn't been repaired. Yeah. And again, Minneapolis is a gigantic crime scene. They're talking about, you know, first it was $9 billion. Now it's probably around $18 billion. And it's the tip of the iceberg. This is going to happen in every Democratic state. And I don't understand, because they can arrest the governors. So why aren't they holding people accountable? Governor Waltz should have been arrested already. Yeah. Certainly, they have tons of evidence on Ellison all the way back to George Floyd. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a lot of stuff. I mean, Derek Chauvin is sitting in jail. You know, I don't think he had a fair trial. But remember, Ellison settled with the Floyd family before they even took the cops to court. So what we're talking about, it's been a rogue situation there. Civil rights don't matter. You know, Ellison and his son were very proudly open about loving Antifa. Waltz has this crazy history. And the thing we should also think about is that Eric Holder came out, of course, and said that they vetted Waltz to be the vice president of Kamala Harris because he was picked, Harold just said yesterday to Jen Psaki, because he had the infrastructure. What infrastructure? Yeah. So to me, this is not a coincidence. George Floyd was the operation that led to the figuring out how to do it right. And here we have the same thing. It implodes right in Minneapolis, and this is supposed to be a coincidence?
Yeah.
It's not. And I'm telling you, everyone should see that clip where Eric Holder says to Jen Psaki that he vetted Waltz, you know, a 30-year relationship with China, all kinds of fraud, all kinds of, you know, sketchy stuff in his background, stolen valor, and he was the best that Holder and the Democrats could do for vice president of the United States with all these question marks. And here we are now, and he's some kind of hero. Thank you, Minnesota. Thank you, Minneapolis. Why do the people of Minnesota, aren't they outraged that their taxpayer dollars for children, for elderly, for healthcare, for Medicaid has been looted and laundered out of their state?
Yeah.
The people should be furious, but we're not seeing the people because they've been here before. And most people that could have left this area left after the George Floyd riots and they burned down Minneapolis. I strongly suggest people watch tonight the fall of Minneapolis to really understand that this is not new, probably like COVID. I think the George Floyd operation there was a test case. And don't forget, the George Floyd situation surrounded a giant they were counterfeit money ring.
Yes.
So, and then all the buildings involved in that money ring were burnt down. Mm-hmm. So a lot of evidence, I think, was destroyed after George Floyd. So to me, this is just a continuation of I call it Operation George Floyd. But it's not being funded by Americans. And that's the biggest problem. And to me, I don't understand. The FBI, NSA, DNI, all these people have extraordinary, I believe, unconstitutional ability because of the Patriot Act to find anyone anywhere at any time. Mm-hmm. And yet they still haven't turned off the money.
Yeah.
You know, this is my hardest part to understand, because I've been for 6 years on stage breaking down the money. I mean, we're glad we have Data Republican and Mike Benz and all these people. But this knowledge is not new.
Yeah.
Millie Weaver, a lot of people were out there, Santilli, for years turning over like this is stop the money. If they shut off the money, they end this. And then it's a bunch of crazy people. And frankly, these people are not, you can't debate them. You can't speak to them. They are their brains have already been. I mean, I don't know if the, what to call it, but it does seem like a mass MK Ultra kind of triggering mind control thing. And the craziest part is it's not about Trump. So every time that they bring up Trump or we got to get rid of Noam, or there are probably 600,000 trafficked children that the Biden White House lost track of. Who's going to find them if not ICE? And I believe that most of them are in sex trafficking, labor trafficking, not to mention the adults that are being trafficked and all of the networks that have been built over the last 4 years of the auto pen. You know, this is very dangerous. And to think that the ICE guys are the bad guys. And I want to say something, too. A lot of these ICE guys aren't coming in. They have ICE agents in Minnesota that live there with their families and everything else that are in serious danger. And everyone is siding with the illegals, the illegals that stole their taxpayer dollars and sent it to Somalia.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is wrong with Americans that they don't understand? This was a controlled demolition of the United States of America that essentially started after World War II and is coming to a head right now because of the disruption, frankly, of Donald Trump being elected in 2016 and then uncovering a lot of criminality that the American people can see with their own eyes. And yet the people of Minneapolis and of Minnesota have been through this before. So, you know, it's just you can't really say that it's not organized when it's ground zero for Black Lives Matter is now ground zero for kill ICE and destroy America. And again, it's never about what it's about. It's for these people. These are revolutionary communists, Marxists. It's always about the revolution. It's never about what they're saying. So they couldn't care less about ICE or deportations. What they care about is furthering the revolution of overthrowing the U.S. government and capitalism, because most of these people don't have normal jobs or aren't raising kids. I don't know has time to do this at all unless they're being paid. So, again, I think what we have to realize is this is just a continuation of the controlled demolition of the United States of America that started, frankly, after World War II, but kicked into high gear under Obama and Holder. Two radicals trained by the Weather Underground, and this is just an extension of that.
Yeah, well, it is an extension of that. And, you know, we're going to have the mayor in studio in a little bit.
Great.
And I want to ask him specifically about the point you brought up. I mean, the FBI continues to tell us, oh, it's an ongoing investigation. When Charlie Kirk was assassinated, we were told that all these left-wing groups were going to be targeted in all of this. And I was expecting the next day after his funeral services, Mel, for doors to be ripped off the hinges.
Me too.
And nothing happened. And here we are again giving these strongly, even Pam Bondi said it. She said, oh, I wrote them as strongly. And she caught herself because she didn't say the word worded. But she did send a strong letter over to Walt's office. Now, we know that Walt and it looks like the mayor, Jacob Frey, had a conversation with President Trump. We'll talk about that in a little bit, because from what it sounds like, he's being criticized, the president, for being a little softball on the two.
He's in an impossible situation. The truth is they want him to call the Insurrection Act. Norm Eisen and his lawfare friends have been planning this for years.
Yeah.
They have playbooks from 2016 forward about They stopped allowing real elections because they stopped allowing the people to decide who runs this country. Now it's this lawfare group and this international money that actually runs our country. And if we don't start to understand that these lawfare people put all this in place. This morning I saw Mark Elias out there cheering himself on because now Minnesota doesn't have to turn over their voter rolls. Why wouldn't they? Why doesn't every American want just American citizens to choose our leadership?
Yeah.
Because we don't anymore. Mm-hmm. Because they've replaced by the people for the people to who cares who wins the election, because we're going to destroy the country after it anyway.
Yeah. Well, folks, right now we're about to hit a quick break. But before we go there, I wanted to tell you all about something that I'm very excited about. I've actually been bothering my control room about this for a bit. The guys over the whole team, because I've been very excited, been trying these out. Alex just launched these new energy shots and they are absolutely incredible. They're so good, Mel. No caffeine, all vitamins. They're available right now over at the shop. It costs you less for each shot than a cup of coffee. Head on over right now. Check these ones out. They're amazing. We'll be right back with more to discuss.
Now, this new product is incredible. It's from our sponsor, Bigly, at thealexjonesstore.com. Optimal Human. You love the green powder. Super nutrient, the very best out there. Well, this is Optimal Cumin Nootropic called Mind Fuel. Introducing Mind Fuel, a super healthy, super strong energy nootropic adaptogen. which doesn't make you sick, doesn't have a letdown. It is incredible. That's just a few of the bottles. Look how many bottles are in there. And I only drink about half a bottle a day. It's so strong. Look at that right there, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what comes in each box of this. And it is simply amazing. Osmo Human Nootropic Mind Fuel is here. This clean, caffeine-free energy shot is designed for clear thinking, steady focus, and zero compromise. It's time to abandon sugary energy drinks and stimulant-heavy formulas in favor of clean, functional, nootropic-based energy. Zero calories, sugar-free, no crash, no blood sugar spike, can be used daily without any guilt. Caffeine-free formula, smooth, clean energy, ideal for caffeine-sensitive users and late-day use. It's also got all these other incredible compounds like citicoline, alpha-GPC, GABA, supports mental clarity and focus. It appeals to both biohackers and holistic consumers. High-quality electrolytes and B vitamins. More than a brain shot, true functional fuel. Optimal Human Nootropic Mind Fuel, that's the name of the product, isn't just another energy product. It's a smarter alternative for consumers who demand clarity, control, and clean performance without compromise. Get 25% off or life when you become a subscriber, canceling time for free. Get Mind Fuel down at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you've never tried the original superfood greens, Optimal Human, you really want to get this as well. It's the best green food I've ever had at thealexjonesstore.com. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, all sorts of cool collectible knives and more. And that's what funds us, and that's what does this. And I really appreciate your support because I can't do it without you. So I want to commend and thank the listeners. But just like I steered you right on gold and silver 2.5 years ago, I got out of the market before that. I said, now's the time. I was totally right. Just like I steer you right on politics, these products are incredible. Get our ultramethylene blue. It is the best in the market. Our Shilajit is the best. Our Irish Hemos is the best. Our turmeric is the strongest. Ultimate turmeric. TheAlexJonesStore.com. You are missing out. You don't get it. I want to thank those that have supported. I want to challenge those that haven't. What are you waiting for?
Ultimate power. The drink that turns you into a beast. With power beyond your imagination.
It's not like that, but it's pretty close.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Hemos was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Hemos because it's a thyroid issue and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us live from West Palm Beach. Mayor Rudy Giuliani will be with us in studio in just a bit. So buckle up. We have a big show ahead of you guys all right now. But I'm excited to be joined by two incredible people right now in studio. Mel Kay is joining us, the host of The Mel Kay Show. Also the author of Americans Anonymous, what everyone at home needs to go grab right now on Amazon. That is the plan on how we're going to save this country. And I highly recommend you get involved. You can find her on X as well. Mel Kay Show is where you can find her, as well as Hunter Gaylor joining us. Yay. He's the founder of Spencer Pruitt. And we're very honored to have you on today because you're an incredible strategist as well. And a great mind when it comes to the political space. So thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure. Here. No, it's amazing. I think it's great. So yeah, obviously, you know, InfoWars is where the real info has the wars. So like, you know, so it's great.
Better be acting like it.
Well, no, this is totally true. I mean, you know, I was watching the segment earlier that you were talking about with what's going on, and you were saying interesting how it's like where George Floyd in the beginning of it. People don't understand, like in warfare, and if anyone has ever studied, you know, war in general, there is tacticians, there is strategy, there is like logistics. There's a lot of stuff that goes into pre-planning this stuff. So it just doesn't, as you said, I mean, listen, I work every day very hard. I wake up in the morning, I get my stuff done, and I go home. I'm too tired at the end of the day to go sit here and riot at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. I'd rather just be at a bar. You know, that's what, so you know these people are being paid. There's an infrastructure around it. There's definitely a banking apparatus around it. There's an entire logistical. So you're absolutely right. And you know, I'm glad that you're bringing the attention to it, because all of the mainstream media news is not talking about it whatsoever. Yeah. And that's a big problem.
Yeah. Well, and if they are talking about it, they're talking about it like it's a peaceful protest, mm-hmm. or like it's really sad. I feel very bad for these ICE guys, because I do know that much of this is they are trying to find all of those trafficked children on mm-hmm. top of all of this. We have hundreds of thousands of children that were put through that border, most of them probably sex trafficked, if not worse. And frankly, who's going to find them?
Yeah.
You know, like, why doesn't that matter? And how about all the infrastructure? Everywhere that there is this kind of fraud, there's going to be the exact same thing happen. We're going to see it in L.A. We're going to see it in Detroit. We're going to see it in Chicago. We already have Brandon Johnson. Again, we have allowed people to get away with stuff over and over, and they are emboldened by that, and they think that nothing's going to happen to them again. And frankly, accountability hasn't been had. So
yeah.
Are they so wrong?
Mm. Well, no, Mel, I think accountability hasn't happened. That's the real frustrating part here. And speaking of that, I kind of want to shift the gears a little bit over to the H-1B visa issue, because we keep learning more and more fraud. You know, my girl, Sarah Gonzalez, is knocking on doors and just asking simple questions in Texas. Like, hey, you got like 20-something people who are apparently supposed to be working for you here at your home. Where are they? And then she finds that they really aren't there. And so there's all these allegations floating around. But Dallas Express is also jumping on board with this. And they recently uncovered something massive in Texas as well, that Texas A&M has been spending a lot of money, a lot of cash on these H-1B visas. So joining me now to discuss, the reporter who's behind all of this, please welcome to the show, Kellen Jones. He's been digging into all of this as their senior investigative reporter, and it's an honor to have him back on today's program. Kellen, I want to thank you for being here. I know you've been digging into the H-1B visa issue, and I know the governor is now responding to all of this. So break down your latest report.
Brianna, thank you so much for having me on again. It's wonderful to join all of you. This is a months-long battle that has finally culminated just this morning in a little bit of action. The battle started around Thanksgiving when I asked Texas A&M, under a Texas Public Information Act request, to give me the documents on how much they had spent hiring H-1B workers over the last 5 years. And 2 months went by, and they hadn't handed over the record. Now, as a lot of your listeners will know, and as I'm sure you know, typically under the Texas Public Information Act, they're supposed to give up the records after 10 days. Well, 2 months go by, and finally I've had enough with Texas A&M, and we reported them to the attorneys general. That was the 22nd of this month, and then did a story that we'd reported Texas A&M to the attorneys general. And suddenly, then the documents materialize. Now, what we didn't know at that time is that the governor was looking into this issue, and he demanded the internal records from A&M as well. And we'll talk a little bit about how that ended later. When I got the documents from Texas A&M, what we found is that they spent $3.25 million over the last 5 years hiring H-1B workers, mostly according to national data, from India and China, to come to Texas to do jobs. Now, what jobs were they doing? It wasn't the super high level, this is the Einstein of Calcutta or the Einstein of Beijing, and they're so important, we're going to bring them over on an H-1B visa and give them tenure right away because we have to have them right now. These were low-level, generally speaking, instructional roles. Many of them were for instructors or the types of professors that don't have tenure. And in some cases, we found that they were applying for communications manager jobs, graphic designer jobs. In several cases, we found that they were applying for software developers. And so I did a little digging, and I found the job descriptions to be a software developer at A&M. And you need a few years of experience in computer science and to have a computer science bachelor's degree. Brianna, 1 in 4 computer science majors at the time these applications were put in are unemployed or underemployed. Of course, underemployed means that you're working a job and you're totally overqualified for it. So 1 in 4 Americans either can't find a job in this line of work or is working a job they're overqualified for. And Texas A&M is spending $3.25 million to hire aliens to do those jobs. And they couldn't explain why. I asked the university, I asked the president of the university, why they had spent this money and why they hadn't invested it in American students. Of course, Texas A&M and the Texas A&M system can hire and create anyone they want. They can identify talent in high schools and in their university system, and they can produce any expert. Yet they've chosen to hire alien labor. And it looks like they've hired about 650 H-1B workers over the last 5 years.
And the governor's now responding to all of this, too. I think I've heard you say previously. What's the latest coming from the governor?
That's right. Thanks to the Texas Tribune, they gave us credit for setting all this into motion. The governor, according to Bullpen, it was reported this morning, is going to announce today a halt to the H-1B visas in the public sector. Apparently, since the reporting last week, there's been a review going on while he has battled with A&M for his own documents. And we're expecting today he's going to announce some halt, but we don't quite have all the details yet.
Yeah, well, that's fascinating. Hunter, you're a business owner. I mean, what do you think about all this?
Well, here's my issue, right? And obviously, he knows exactly what he's talking about, and I commend him for the research and just what he's doing to expose this. The problem is when you look at the visa program in general, internationally, as a business owner, I want the most skilled, qualified people. Now, not to go off on a tangent, it's sad that we're not doing and investing in the American kind of first system. And that goes into rabbit holes we can go down with the problem with our education system and all of the other stuff. But the fact that they're abusing the system, once again, abusing the system. So my question is what other visas are they doing besides the H-1B? What other visas that we're not talking about or thinking about? That's what really what I want to know, because it's not just the H-1B visa. There's like a bunch of other visas as well.
Right.
So, you know, the problem is, and I don't know the real answer to this, but at what point are we following who's benefiting
right
from getting the H-1B visa?
Right.
Because if they're just bringing people in and they're in these know-nothing jobs,
what's the benefit? Where is the kickback? Where is the money?
Like, that's what I want to know, because if I'm trying to bring these people over and they're not qualified for the job and I'm just trying to get it, what's the scam?
But if they're saying 1 in 4 computer programming majors, even out of Texas A&M, are unemployed, well, it obviously isn't America that's going to benefit.
No. And by the way, you know, I didn't get an engineering degree, right? I got a bachelor's of liberal arts and studied, you know, political science and global finance, et cetera. And what I've never understood is we get these people over from China, and I went to an okay school, not now, but, you know, okay. And here's the problem. The guys in like a CS50 class, which is like a computer science class, these guys are wicked smart, right?
Yeah.
Wicked smart. And you know, whether you look at the top engineering schools or whatever, you know, these people that they're bringing over, they're killing us.
Yeah.
It's the controlled demolition of the United States of America, and it's been going on a long time. And a lot of this also has to do with I believe there's been an out-and-out war on young men in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So who are mostly computer majors? I would say probably young men.
Mm-hmm.
Our son is one. So to me, they need experience. They need those entry-level jobs, and they're not even being, you know, looked at for them, because these H-1B things they are in the ads. They are only hiring that.
Yeah.
They're not saying if there's not enough Americans to fit these jobs, then we'll go to them. That's not what they're doing.
Well,
and that makes you question. Yeah. With the benefits.
My big issue is with Vivek Ramaswamy, right? Because when you look at what he was talking about, and I won't go into his background, but, you know, that remains for another conversation and some adult beverages to go along with it, because that's what I need to be able to even talk about him, is all of the big tech, little tech people pushing this visa thing for people that are performing, right? You're hurting America by doing that. But what the corporation is doing, I'm going to put the business hat on for a second. The business hat is saying, where can I get the same level at a cheaper price? And if I can just bus them in from India, mm-hmm. right, and have a bunch of Indians here because it lowers my labor costs, yeah. right, it increases my profit margins, of course I'm going to push for that. And I'm going to find a way to abuse the system, because at the end of the day, it's always about the money.
Well, I actually want to ask Kellen, because I know your investigation is not stopping here. Are you looking into any other colleges in Texas right now?
Yes, we are. We've got an investigation going on with UT. We've got one going on with Tech. And we've got some investigations going on with local school districts as well. I'll be putting out a report in a few days that Dallas ISD has obtained about 1,200 approvals for H-1B workers over the last 5 years. And they spend a ton of money to execute that system. And there'll be some more details with that forthcoming. The point is that every university in Texas, just about, at least public universities, are using H-1B visas. And part of the reason for that is that there's a carve out in the federal law that there is not a cap on university hiring of H-1B visas like there is with the private sector. The private sector has to compete for about 85,000 visas. The public sector gets about as many as they want.
That is so crazy. That is so crazy. Kellen McGovern Jones, my friend, thank you for joining us again. You're doing an incredible job over at the Dallas Express. You're the senior investigative journalist. And folks, give him a follow on X as well. Cowtown Caller is where you could find him. Kellen, thank you for joining us in this great report. I look forward to having you back on after you get some more information, too, on these other schools, because I'm sure they're not going to like it when you expose them. But it's really, really important. So thank you, Kellen.
Thank you, Brianna.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. I want to bring it back to you guys because, you know, we obviously are sitting here going, what the F? This is insane that they're able to do this. And there's really low restrictions on all of this. It doesn't really scream America first. And you don't expect this from Texas. So they tell us all that Texas is a red state. Oh. So you would never expect this from there.
Yeah. Well, we all had an intelligence briefing that Texas is not okay.
It's not.
There's a huge problem in Texas on multi levels, and it has been allowed. Also, I just want to say this is. You know, I believe that we've been living through the Cloward Piven strategy of collapsing America from within by oversaturating, having illegals come in, but also people on the social services and Medicaid and all of that. What's sadder is that all three of us know that an entry level job is where you really learn.
Yeah.
You know, you can learn everything in school, but once you get that first job, that's where you really learn to interact with teams. You learn responsibility, deadlines, all this important stuff is the first job, the entry level job. What is happening is entry-level jobs are no longer going to young men, American young men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is a real problem. So we have to also look at it, the bigger picture, as to these ads for these H-1B visas. There's also all the ads that are for basically, if you're a young white man in America, don't apply. And this is across the board with entry-level jobs, which is how people start their careers. So essentially, what they're trying to do, it seems to me, is to create a generation, I would say, of young men that don't have the opportunity that was promised to Americans as for our future. They're taking away the purpose. You know, it's like when we were laughing last week, it's not funny, but we were laughing how Elon Musk was saying that the Optimus is going to take over raising our kids.
How scary.
And our pets and taking care of our parents.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this seems to be kind of the similar thing. Like, you know, we don't really need those young American men anymore. We're just going to demoralize them, put them into unemployment, get them hooked on drugs, you know, whatever the case may be. I mean, what's the other option? If there's no jobs for these people and they'd prefer to import people.
Yeah. And I'll never forget, you know, in studying of politics or following politics or whatever, you know, when Newt Gingrich was running for president, right, there was a very famous line he had in one of the debates. And it was so pivotal in my professional growth of what he said, because it's so true to the strength of a nation. And he said, I want to create an America where a young man or a young person can get a job, learn the job, and one day own the job.
Exactly.
That is the upward mobility to strengthen a strong working middle class. And when you start outsourcing that responsibility, you start killing America. Right. And we've been doing it because we have not been going out. And I say this all the time. Look at our trade schools. We have an aging. We have an aging. My parents are aging out. Right. Yeah. They're out of the workforce. Look at all of the companies. Look at the plumbing jobs. Look at the best thing out there is I think someone like a Dirty Jobs where they're showing you all of these things. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that our entire your life. And this is I have a personal vendetta about this. But what we have done with this online world, right, with regards to OnlyFans and the sexualization and overeasy of how easy it is for these people to just, you know, not care about society, not care about how they, you know, go work and get a job and make an honest living. Like that, where do you think that phrase comes from? Make an honest living. Yeah. You get up every day, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and you get to work. We grow up now in a I want it right now, right? Get me the dollar menu in the drive-through lane. Let me get it now, right? Mm-hmm. That's not how America was built. It was built on grit. It was built on exceptionalism. It was built on all of these things. And what we're doing is we're robbing the future.
Yeah.
Because we are not equipping the people with the environment to be able to create and to grow and to innovate. Well, we're just not doing it.
But our universities have become businesses. They're no longer educational bastions.
Harvard, I want you to think about this. And I said this on one of the shows. I said Harvard is a hedge fund with dorm room.
I know. I've been saying it, too. And you actually went there, so you know that better
than I could tell you. Their endowment is like, you know, quote me, guys, fact checkers, go fact check it. What is their endowment? $53 billion?
You know who runs it? Penny Pritzker.
Yeah. So and you look at these other endowments that are out there and these tax things that they're doing.
And they're nonprofits.
Yeah.
Schools. I mean, they're hedge funds attached to schools. And then the thing particularly about Harvard, and I went to a school that has done the same thing. What is also going on is that then they started changing their criteria to get in, to get people in there that they can then groom to go out there and be activist teachers and work at NGOs and all this, not to be innovators, not to be entrepreneurs, not to be that, but to be operatives in their, you know, revolution.
Well, they don't from personal experience. And I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed my time at the university, but, you know, because I was involved.
Yes.
Right. I wasn't a plant from the Chinese government.
That's what I was going to say next.
Like, you know, sorry. Hey, CIA, I didn't get a call. Look at me. I look like James Bond. Look at me. Come on. You know, like, where's my call? You know, so the problem is in the universities now, they have changed. And I think I was probably one of the last classes before they really went woke. I mean, I was there when they were pushing with Al Gore. So Crimson, Harvard doesn't have a mascot, right? So it's just the Crimson, right? So they said
it's violence.
Yeah. So it's Crimson. And they had a whole campaign. Green is the new Crimson.
Oh.
Because they wanted to go green. And they wrapped the little toilets, right? The flusher, right? Press down for one and up for two for water conserve. I mean, it's just a joke what they've done. So they've been manipulating the students now into almost these training centers, right?
Oh, yeah. They're NGO.
Directed. They're not teaching anymore.
No.
I'm not sitting down and learning.
At the schools of education, they are teaching teachers to be activist trainers. I mean, it's just really pathetic at this point. But I'm telling you, we really have to start paying attention to the war on our young men in this country. Everything from the Me Too forward and then the Women's March and then, you know, somehow including women. All women are also on the same level as all minorities somehow. Yeah. I mean, I've worked, I'm pretty old. I've worked for a lot of people, at least 75% of the CEOs or high-level people I worked for have been women since the 90s. So, I mean, this whole thing, but, I mean, this is robbing American young men of opportunity on a major scale.
It's hurting, like, for me, working in global finance, I can tell you that when they started pushing for all these major corporations that are publicly traded, this diversity stuff, where you have to have like minorities and women and stuff on boards.
Yeah.
Not that I have anything against women, but like
it's a safe place.
No. Right. I feel like I'm, you know,
the new view.
But no. The problem is okay. So I'm going to put someone on my board, right? That's not qualified, but fits a rule.
Yeah.
That the NASDAQ has or something like that. You got to be kidding me.
But it's part of the overthrow. They want to overthrow capitalism. Like these are hardcore Marxist communists. And maybe if the Weather Underground and all of their friends that were actual domestic terrorists didn't get pumped up and put into the universities and then basically train Barack Obama, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, basically trained him to get to where he was. Well, that is what we're dealing with. We are dealing with people that are Solinskyites. The revolution is the win. And the more that they can disrupt America from within, they will. The problem is that we have law enforcement and military that should know better.
Yeah, and I want to actually get back to the foreign thing here, because I remember when President Trump just a few months ago was talking about how these colleges, these universities really need foreigners to come in because they're the ones who are keeping them afloat. And he extended the Chinese.
He should have never said
thousands
that.
Of
he should have never said that.
Isn't it so infuriating? And it's never really been corrected. And we're still giving thousands of more visas to these Chinese CCP spies.
But here's the thing about that, right? And I'm glad you brought that up, because this boils my blood, right?
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, right, and people joke. I know for a fact, right? I know for a fact there are organizations out there, okay, that are pipelining in from the Chinese, paying to get their kids into these Ivy League schools. Now, what people don't realize is go look at all the federal judges, go look at all of like a bunch of the judges, the courts, the lawyers. They all went to the same alma mater. You don't think they're collaborating with one another?
Yes, they are.
They do it. Goldman Sachs does it. If your daddy worked at Goldman Sachs and your mom is pretty, guess what? And you have a kid, guess where he's going to get a job?
I know. But that's the thing that I say always about lawfare and these law firms of these, people that are out there basically bailing people out immediately, no matter what they do. This is all coming through the Southern Poverty Law Center, ACLU, NAACP. Do not forget that when Eric Holder went in, the revolutionary himself, nobody really ever looked into Eric Holder. But now we're finding out a lot of things about the cartels. We were talking with Lara Logan yesterday. She was talking about the cartels are really embedded. Peter Schweitzer just put out a very disturbing new book about all of the infiltration of the Mexican cartels all over America, all these consulates, all this stuff. Well, don't forget about Fast and Furious and arming the cartels.
But they want to sweep that under the rug, Mel. They're sweeping
it
because no one's talking. And that because, until heads start rolling and people start being perp walked, they perp walked our president. That's why we were saying, I know we were talking about this over the weekend, but like we need real serious accountability if you're going to fix the system.
And let's be very honest, both Bill Clinton and Barack Obama put out letters. And don't forget, Hillary Clinton's thesis in college was about Solinsky, the original revolutionary with the Revolutionary Handbook. We have to remember yesterday, both Clinton and Obama basically backed up the rioters.
Yeah.
Well, calling for it again. And Hillary Clinton, she wrote her thesis about this. She was in love with Solinsky. He's rules for radicals.
Yeah.
Like, these are not good people. The controlled demolition of America has been going on for a very long time, and they've all been in on it.
Yeah, I'm going to step in here because we're about to hit a hard commercial break. But I want to tell our audience, we got Mayor Rudy Giuliani joining us in studio in just a few moments. You're going to want to sit here for that because we're going to talk to him about why we haven't seen much in the way of prosecutions going on right now. We're seeing a lot of left-wing terrorists, obviously, fleeing to the streets of Minneapolis. And not much being done. We have a very clear RICO case, and obviously he's the king of RICO, so we'll ask him about that in a little bit. But in the meantime, folks, I'm really excited for today's show, mainly because we just launched these new energy shots, and they're absolutely incredible. I actually... the ones you see in this video, you're going to see in a second. I actually drank them all. They are absolutely incredible. These energy shots, they are all natural, no caffeine, optimal human mind fuel. I'm telling you, this is the one you're going to want to snag over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there. We just launched them now. And subscribe. It costs $4 and something change for each shot, less than a cup of coffee. This is a total game changer. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting, in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm going to eat at 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Thank you.